July the 9th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam, Wafidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Before we open with a short dua and continue where we left off yesterday, we're asking you to say a prayer, a short dua for our beloved brother Imam Shamsuddin, who's in the hospital. We pray to Allah that he will have a speedy recovery and come back home to his family and his community. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Sacrifice only certain animals. The Quran Surah 22 Ayah 37. Sacrifice your piety, not blood, reaches God. So we are only allowed to sacrifice certain animals. We can't sacrifice any animals in the Hajj, only certain animals, sheep, cows, cattle, goats. You can't go there with snakes and dogs and things like that. What is the meaning of sacrifice the sheep or sacrificing the sheep? If the sheep are so good, why do we sacrifice them? Actually, you don't understand the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrificing the sheep, you don't eat his blood. It is forbidden for us to eat his blood. His blood is supposed to be for, according to scripture, but God says, what you offer me, it doesn't come to me. What comes to me is your righteousness. He says that what you sacrifice to me on the altar doesn't come to me. So what is the meaning of this sacrificing of the sheep? It means that even that attribute in you must not be a selfish attribute. It must not be something in you for society. It must be something in you for Allah. Your human motivation should not be for society, it should be for Allah. So meat represents knowledge. So what should you give society? You give the society the meat. What does the meat represent? It represents the knowledge, the motivation. Give it to Allah. The drive, the motivation, the ambition. Give it to Allah. Submit it to him. God, my will, my motivation, my ambitions are all for you. It is not for political power. It is not to humanize society. God, it is for you. So you are number one for everything that I do. You are number one. I can't put society before you. Wouldn't I be wrong to say that I'm going to be human? And humanitarian for society's sake? When Allah made me like this and put this nature in me and put it in you and made it possible for me to reach you with this nature, then why should I say I am being humanitarian for society's sake? I'm being humanitarian for Allah's sake. For I am doing it to please Allah. Now, I'm obligated to give you the knowledge. And the book says, oh, a lot of people in religion, they can handle milk, but few know how to handle meat. So meat stands for knowledge, the wisdom, the sciences. Sacrifice give your ambition. The sacrifice means you give your humanitarianism motivation, your peaceful motivation, your peaceful ambition, like the sheep gives it for Allah's sake. So if you don't give it for Allah's sake, your humanitarianism will become a disease on society. Artificial humanism. Having too many people lead us to an artificial human humanitarianism or over sheepish humanitarianism where they become really sheep for the wolves of the world. So we must connect this with martyrdom. The highest contributions in jihad, martyrdom. What is the meaning of that? It is a sacrifice. Look at what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said. The ink of a scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. That is a hadith that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had said. Sacrifice your knowledge to common man. Just to make sacrifice of that nature for your faith's sake, to teach the knowledge that will elevate the common man from him. What kind of sacrifice is that? It is an inferior sacrifice. The greatest contribution will be to make the sacrifice of your ambition for God's sake, but also to give the common people the knowledge that you hold. Cain, the rational urge, killed Abel, moral upright. So the Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 27 to 31, Abel, Cain. Genesis 4, 15, Cain, whoever killed him, gets sevenfold punishment. Bukhari, page 3, 624, help brother when he's wrong. El Hadith, page 1, 297 to 78. Believer is mirror for believer. So in this religion, we accept that we are our brother's keeper. The book tells us that it is the Bible tells us of a son coming from the first man who was made or created, and that son turned down his own brother and slew him. And the Bible shows us that son having to live with the question, should I be my brother's keeper? And the Bible warns the people that if they identify such person, don't kill him. It says to kill him would be seven times worse than his crime, meaning that the man Cain killed was a moral upright man, a man who was morally motivated. Now, if you kill one who represents the urge for rational understanding in the world, even though the urge for rational understanding has brought the world under misery, brought the world into corruption, misery, and cruelty, we can't slay that particular urge in man. We must let it live. But there are some religious orders who say, slay that urge in man. Don't they? They say you are not supposed to apply your rational faculties in their particular religious discipline. So you are to feel your way spiritually and to cut off yourself, separate yourself from the desire to understand rationally. That is what they tell you. So we know we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, obligated us that if anyone gets a little knowledge, he doesn't have to be educated. All the people he was teaching were uneducated. Very few educated people were among him. They were people from foreign societies. So the people he was teaching was not educated people, and if he told them, whoever learns a little bit, he is obligated to pass that little bit into another ignorant person. So we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. If you can understand it in that high fashion, let me show it to you in the plain, ordinary sense of the word, upholding or protecting your brother in the world. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, help your brother whether he is in the wrong or the right. And they asked him, dear messenger of God, prayers and the peace be upon you, how is it that we should help our brother when he is in the wrong? He said, hold him back from wrong. So we must understand that our religion is not like that religion that says you are not responsible for the behavior of your brother. You are. And in another place, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, the Muslim is a mirror for his brother. A mirror will show you your defects. If you look at it, if you turn towards the mirror, it is going to show you that which is crooked, wrong. Your face is dirty. It's going to show you. If you have any ugly expressions on your face, that mirror is not going to make you look like a sweet dandelion or something. That mirror is going to show you just like you are looking. And if the mirror does not show you the way you are looking, the mirror is wrong. It is warped. But if it is a straight mirror, it shows you just what you are. It only reports what it sees, and it reports it correctly. So we must understand that. Shouldn't the strong assist the weak? Let us not be any longer victims of this society, synthesizes morally to ignore the weak amongst us, thinking that you can't be responsible for the weak. Everybody has to make it for themselves. Anytime you accept that, you are accepting the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. We don't buy that. Western society brought that, survival of the fittest. And believe me, most of your rulers over us, now that their laws, survival of the fittest, and they say, hell, let's throw this out there into society. The one who will be the one fit, the ones that destroy, they were not fit to survive. They go by the process of elimination. What do they call it in science? Natural selection. And it means selection by adaptation, and those who cannot adapt, they are destroyed. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, man created from clay, from dust to divine. Three developments: one, dust; two, desire; three, divine. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger, Muhammad, forever. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements. Growth of a person towards fulfillment of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of the dust or clay. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and made man become a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that breath, it was existing in its father and mother. This is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second, growth, desire, appetite. So the child then grows out of the dust, earth, and to the world of individual life. So the life is called the life of desire. And it is in this term or growth that the child develops appetite for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and the final growth into the word of divine life. So the word of divine life could only be called knowledge until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. So it was under the influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was both true and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. The three wounds of darkness. The human being begin his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds come naturally. But falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevents this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had been through the three stages of development or the three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false to be born again. He would have to die in his present mind, give up his world and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. So human growing constantly. So the human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. So we are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three growths or movement towards divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us, two from a kind of trinity of check and balance, but one of the three rules the other two. That is the divine person. Once you come out of the third womb and that third life has been made divine, the pure light of divine truth has now come in and removed all falsehood. So in the Genesis, you have a man being made from dust, and in you have a city manifesting from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. So God's challenge. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. So when you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes its own world. So the divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern and all the material needed for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. So he gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens your eyes to his great doing. Then he challenged you by telling you to make your own, the atom of divine will. The mission of the Nation of Islam is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. The first thing is to know yourself as a growing and developing life with organs and divine. So we are taught that before the physical world becomes observable by physical observation. There was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will, that it is manifest by the divine power originally. So we were in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifested us out of that atom into a physical world, formed to manifest the divine in us again. All praises are due to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine light. The brilliant light of truth is enveloping us with the penetrating rays of light and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind. The Nation of Islam, that body, the body Christ, in which you can grow into the full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance, I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind, Almighty God, Allah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 2, created man from clay, and another term, Genesis 2, 7, man from dust of the ground. Genesis 5, 1 to 2, created he them. So when we are talking about the genesis or the birth of man, it's habits to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that male and female created he then and blessed them and called them their name, Adam. So when we understand the creation of the man in the Bible Genesis as the making or the forming of a people or a righteous community, then humans formed by words. But if we understand it in the baby language, the language of allegory, pictures, painting to be interpreted without interpretation, it's only pictures, painting for the minds of baby-like people. What is this that the Bible is telling us about the creation and the creation or the genesis of man or a community that's so important that it is given as a beginning or genesis of human being? It is this. People don't start to be people until their minds are born. As long as they are not considered people, you can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. And you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals, because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called same world, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form, but when you get acquainted with them They resemble mad animals rather than human beings. So the human being is a unique and special kind of a creature. He's not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world or when he comes physically into adulthood. He's only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. So the physical person is like a dead body in the earth without no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the particular human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay and form it into the form or a person, you don't have a person, you only have a physical image or picture of a person. So Genesis tells us that God made that from clay or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 2, created from clay. Created from clay. From dust to divine. Three developments, one, dust. 2, desire. 3, divine. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon His servant and His messenger Muhammad forever. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements, growth of the person, towards fulfillment of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of the dust or clay. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not beginning of the individual life before that birth. It was existing in its father and mother. This is the same as saying it was existing in the earth, because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second, growth, desire, appetite. So the child then grows out of the dust, earth, into world of individual life. So this life is called the life of desire. And it is in this term of growth that the child develops appetites for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and the final growth into the word of divine life. The word of divine life could only be called knowledge until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. It was under the influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was born true and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. So the three wounds of darkness. The human being begins his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds come naturally, but falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevents this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of development, or the three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false. To be born again, he would have to die in his own present mind, give up his world and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. So human growing constantly. The human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. So we are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three growths or movements toward divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of a trinity of check and balance. But one of the three rules the other two. So that is the divine person. Once you come out of the third womb and that third life has been made divine, the pure light of divine truth has now come in and removed all falsehood. So in that Genesis, you have a man being made from dust, and you have a city manifesting from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God's challenge. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make it on its own. So when you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. So each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. So every creature makes its world. The divine supreme being gives it to a supreme pattern, and all of the material needed for making its world, but he himself is not going to make it for you. So he gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens up your eyes to his great doing. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own, the atom of divine will. The mission of the Nation of Islam is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. The first thing is to know yourself, growing and developing life with origin in divine. So we are taught that before the physical world becomes observable by physical observation. So there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will that is manifest by the divine power originally. So we are in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifested us out of that atom into a physical world form to manifest the divine in us again. All praises is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine light. The brilliant light of truth is enveloping us with its penetrating rays of light, and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our minds. The Nation of Islam is the body Christ, in which you can grow into full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance. I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God, Allah. So the Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, created man from clay, then another term, Genesis 2:7, men from dust of ground. Genesis 5:1-2, created he them. So when we are talking about the Genesis or the birth of man, it's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis, chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that male and female created them and blessed them and called their names Adam. So when we understand the creation of the man in the Bible, Genesis, that the making or the forming of a period, of a people or a religious community. So human form by words. But if we understand it in the baby language, the language of allegorical pictures, paintings to be interpreted without interpretation. It only is pictures, paintings for the mind of baby like people. Listen, so what is this that the Bible is telling us about the creation or the genesis of man or a community? So that is so important that it is given as a beginning or a genesis of human beings. It is this: people don't start to be people until their minds are born. As long as they are not considered people, you can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. And you will see babies, you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because their human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called same world, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form. But when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. So the human being is a unique and special kind of a creature. He is not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world. Or when he comes physically into adulthood, he's only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the particular human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. So clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay from it into the form of a person, you don't have a person, you only have a physical image or picture of a person. So Genesis tells us that God made that form, that from clay, or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So human created inside of a human. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 17, profit not, throw, thus kill, but Allah. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 171, Jesus' word and spirit from God. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 4, God wants sons. He takes from what he's created. 40 Hadith, page 118 and 38. Allah becomes your seeing, hearing. Meskit, Mesiba, page 2, 471 to 650. Adhan, companion, vision. John 13:16, Jesus said, sent not greater than sender. So Jesus, God says in plain in our Quran that he never had a consort or a female mate or a wife, and that he never had children. He only has to create them as he has created those men, all the men that we have on earth. And actually, he's referring mainly to as he created man before man, he prefers to prophets mostly. So we believe that God creates a person inside of a person. God creates the human inside of the human being. That a human being is born of a woman in the world of flesh, and God can create the human being inside of that flesh. And we believe that Jesus Christ is a creation of God, and we believe that he is the Christ. But we don't believe like the Christians believe, or I should say, like the Christians express themselves as express that belief. Why do I say that? Jesus, close to God, spoke in first person. I appreciate that God be with us and guide us. I have come to understand that Jesus, like many holy men, they can speak at the time speaking. They don't recognize themselves. They recognize only God. So they will be speaking in the first person, and I'm convinced that Jesus was such a person. He spoke like that. Whenever God took over his presence, then it was not him speaking, but he was speaking only what God was saying to him. And therefore he spoke in the first person, and people took him to be God. So next soul, where do I get that understanding from? Where do I stand upon as Muslim scholars? They say, give me the evidence. In our holy book, God says that he created you from one soul, and of it I made its mate, and spread it from the two many men and women. So if this was one, and God made of it a mate, then it says, Nepsin Wahida, one soul, one person. In Quranic Arabic, particularly self, soul, person, all, are all the same words, depend on how you use it in the sentence. So in the context that we find in the beginning of man's creation, this nefs is soul, not a person, it's soul. And what is it saying? It is saying that the human soul, the beginning of human life, human soul, because the body is not the beginning of human life. You go in the jungle, you find primitive people not touched by civilization and education. They are savages, and they lack humanity. They are missing humanity. So the beginning of the humanity, or the beginning of the human person in humanity, is the beginning of that human being in his humanity, and it begins at one soul. And then God causes it to have its mate, the female. And they mate and they produce, as God says in our holy book, women and men in great numbers. So we know that. That's not the case anymore. It's women in great numbers. So most of the scholars, in fact, I haven't met the exception. I met some very uncomfortable with it. But then they wouldn't speak. Most of the scholars readily admit that women are humanly equal to men, that they have the same capacity for intelligent development, for education, and also for assuming roles in society, whatever those roles are, that even their physical body can be developed to do what a man does physically. That's what we believe. Not that we want them to do that. We don't want them to do that. We don't think that God intended for them to take on that kind of role in society. Bismillah, none baby can't talk. So the Quran, Surah 9, Ayat 1 to 5, the Merciful. Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 30, Solomon wrote, Sheba, Bismillah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 94. You will return to us bare and alone. Isaiah 11:6. A child shall lead them. So the ninth chapter, no Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Baby born 9 months, can't speak, but goes on its nature. Not only for the night of power, but for anything. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and mean it. It has to come from your heart and soul. If it comes from your heart and soul, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting you. So there is only one chapter that does not begin that way. And know it, it is the ninth chapter. And we are in the womb of our mother for an expected 9 months. And in the ninth month, not the tenth one, the delivery is right. And the baby is too young to say, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The baby is just going on its nature, the nature that God created it in to support it. Now, there are some old guys like me who are still babies in our nature, is supporting us as we do not have it up here. Not yet, and a lot of us die and never get it up there. So we are the ones, as long as we have good intention, we are in God's will and in His spirit, and we are part of His revelation. So it is not given in the beginning. That means no one spoke it outside of the context, of outside of the text or the content. But when you get into the body of that, sure, God found a way to give it to Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon him. So it is there, and it is not serving the purpose that the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim serves in the whole of the Quran. For was 113 surah or chapter. So it is inside, right? So what is it saying? When God put it inside there, inside of that, one did not have it reach his conscience. It was inside of his nature. His own nature respects Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So Muslim Bismillah inscribed in our nature, yet not in our conscience. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not saying it with his mouth. When he is innocent inside of his own nature, is Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inscribed many things upon our nature. They are not in our conscience. They work in our nature. Everyone is a Muslim, but it is not in his conscience yet when he is born, but it is in his nature. It is beautiful. And by means, in the name of the king, or in the name of the people, what is he saying? He is saying, whenever I am doing, it is owning to the fact that I am authorized by the people of this, authorized by the king. So this is exactly what we are saying. Whatever we are engaging, or whatever we are getting into here, it is authorized by our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our God, who is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, what is it saying is that your own nature knows its benefactor, and it is going to be redeemed. It knows its redeemer. It knows the mercy of its Lord. It does not claim anything for itself. It just obeys the law and the will of God. So it is already performing as though it is saying, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Now I feel like doing the buck dance on top of the table. Qadir, cow, chew, cut, is if from it. Now the Qadir. You know, they say the cow chews the cud. I believe they got cud from Qadira, from Al-Islam, from Quran. Cud for a cow, it has reference to a second stomach. The cow eats, and when it finished eating, it will chew again what it swallowed. And when it does that, it is chewing the cud. So I do believe that cud and Qadira goes together. The English people, when they brought that word into their language, they got it from Al-Islam, from the Quran, the Qadira, chewing the cud. Now, Laylatul Qadra, Laylatul Qadira, not Qadira, not Qadra. So that is the one, like I'm associating with cud for the cow. Qahira runs man, Alif, Shira. The night of power is better than a thousand months. Then it goes on to describe what is coming down, what happens on that night, right? So better than a thousand months. Man is better than containing man's behavior under a cruel or cultural system. A thousand months, one of the translations during his commentary says, it means it is better than a lifetime. That's because most people do not live 100 months. It is like the life expectancy, longevity expectancy. Now, I do not have any problem with that. It is a good translation, an excellent translation, but I think when it says it is better than 1,000 months, it means it is better than the whole duration of your scheme to contain man's behavior under a cultural system. 3 months is a season, culture used to control the masses. 1,000 means its full life has been lived. 3 months is a season, and 4 times 3 is a whole year. Now, usually they work just upon a year. These cultures work to hold us for a year, to get us in the summer and put us in the winter, and then bring us the spring, and then bring, and then back again to summer. So that is how they rotate us to govern us and keep our behavior under them. So now this is just 12 months, but this is better than 100 months, 1,000 months, pardon me. In the Arabic language systems, this is not ordinary language. This is exoteric language system. The language that has to be translated in order for you to understand and get the real meaning. And that 1,000 means, when it completes itself, that once it completes itself, it's full. Life has been lived. So after 1,000, it dies, not after 12 months. So in the Bible, it's talking about a year with God is not the same as your years. So your years are short. Your years are 12 months. And when God is talking about a year, don't think that means 12 months. Your years is short. That is all it is saying. A year with God is much longer than a year with man. So first shall be last. The spiritual life was first. Now it is last. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 14. You inherit land to test your conduct. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayat 12. Allah made man from the dust. Matthew 20:16. The first shall be last, then first. So scripture says it as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And it also says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So what was first? The human being. Well, the spiritual life first. Society tells us this, not just scripture. You study the history of developing societies and the history of mankind, all the communities of people, and you will find that the first leaders were spiritual leaders. And in the so-called primitive society right now, their chief leader is a spiritual leader. They have not changed from the old baby order of society for mankind. They are still in that baby stage where their spiritual leader is their chief over the president or whatever. He is their chief. His is the boss. And they live in the backwoods of South America or somewhere, or on a sand of some desert somewhere, wherever they are, in the cave, tents, or whatever. They are under a seaman or a spiritual leader, the witch doctor or something, because the spiritual life is the first life. And the leadership that's formed for that life is the first leadership. It says, the first shall be that. Now let's look at the modern look at the modern industrial world. Is the spiritual life first? No. So what life is first? Commercial life. Right now the first life is the commercial life. So what is going to take Bush out or keep him in? The war in Iraq, you might say. How we vote on his performance and how he lets the war in Iraq affect our vote. Some of you will say that, and that is true. But what is at base in the interest to stay in Iraq? It is democracy or is it oil? And control for dollars. I'm not putting Bush down. Economic interest is very important, extremely important. I'm not saying that to criticize him. I'm saying that to keep the eyes open while I talk, as the brother said, talk. I like to speak, but he says talk. That's okay. I think I know where he's coming from. It's beautiful. He doesn't mean that talk that has to walk. He is talking about real talk. Barakallahu Gadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening. We will continue next Wednesday at 7 p.m.